This is the Finding Business Happy podcast with me, Janelle McGrath, the founder of MarketVeep. This show is all about helping you to live your best life inside and outside of work as a leader in business. Because let's face it, what's important is finding your business happy. Welcome back to the Finding Business Happy podcast with me, Janelle McGrath at MarketVeep. And today we're going to be talking about the elephant in the room. So happy, scalable sales teams. Lots of people and companies can scale, but are they actually happy? And what does that mean when we talk about sales? It's more than we just hit our quota this month, but you know, how much effort did it take to close it? How much manual activity am I doing in my day? How much chasing of the prospect? You know, how many times do I leave voicemails for them and they're just not answering the phone? And months and months of chasing. Is leadership happy? Can they see the full pipeline at any given moment? And are they able to plan? Are they able to plan growth for their organization? All of these pieces contribute to overall company happiness, individual happiness, team happiness. And so I've talked to salespeople who look stressed to the max, right? They complain about mounting quotas, pressures to quote unquote find the leads, but given really no direction or support of how to get them. And so it makes me really sad because, you know, they're good salespeople. They're, and quite honestly, good humans. And there's something really special about sales that I love because I think that they have the ability to connect with others in a really unique way, come from a place of help in the sales process, and sell collaboratively as a team. And that's a super special people-focused gift, and I love to see them flourish. So the goal today is really to talk about how to get them to a happy place and get them to be able to thrive in their roles and be successful. And so how come they don't hit those quotas? Leadership is frustrated, right? They just hired new people. They're looking to grow the bottom line. Everybody's excited. They're going to get there. And then, you know, a couple months go by and it doesn't come to fruition. Their trend is not growing, but it's really just barely treading water. And so the salesperson becomes frustrated and leadership starts thinking, when are you going to close the sale? How much longer? And so that mounting pressure continues on. And so it's no secret that many companies end up feeling like two companies inside of one because of this sales and marketing misalignment. So things like missed goals, lack of accountability, cloudy transparency, and lack of clearly defined objectives all drive teams to start finger pointing. So I've been on calls, I'm sure others have experienced similar situations where sales and marketing teams are openly fighting. Talk about uncomfortable and awkward. It ends up sounding something a little like this. And there's many variations, but you know, we give you, marketing says to sales, hey, we're giving you X number of leads a month and we're crushing it. You guys should be closing. I don't understand why that's not happening. And then sales says, I can't get them on the phone. They're junk leads. And so as an agency in our ecosystem, and we're talking to two different teams, and we're an extension of those teams and arms. So trying to be a mediator in the middle to work with teams to say, how do we all work better? How do we get to the root cause and the understanding of who those personas is? So when somebody starts with us, we'll have a lot more of these conversations with sales and marketing teams, let everybody flush out their frustrations, hear all sides. And it's not that one is right and one is wrong. It's just a matter of everybody's moving towards the same goal. They're just moving in different directions. So how do we get everybody to move, sales and marketing teams, in that same alignment? And that makes everything better. So when we talk about being open, one of the things I think that happens a lot of times is this lack of vulnerability, where sales or marketing people might not necessarily want to say what they, you know, are experiencing for fear of, you know, being criticized or having other opinions from the team come in. And so when we think about that, if we can't openly talk about the quality of those leads, what's working, what's not working, what we've tried, it's very unlikely that those problems will get solved, right? Unless somebody is an actual mind reader, it's just not going to happen. And so by creating a space where there will be no finger pointing, there is no limitation in terms of the topics of conversation, of what things we're open-minded to change, drill down in, and ask questions on the sales and the marketing side, it makes the trajectory look much more positive. And so it allows us to implement those solutions and A/B test and move the needle, as opposed to dwelling on things and assuming that somebody knows. So just to be clear, the point of the session today is not in any way to say one department is more important than another or that one does this better than the other. The intent really is to tackle low-hanging fruit, or the most common pain sales and marketing teams struggle with. And so we're going to get into some of the biggest missed opportunities we see when people first start having open conversations about their sales processes. So if your significant other said to you, "Hey, for dinner tonight, I ordered the pizza. Can you pick it up?" And you ask no questions, assuming which location it was ordered from, then arrived sadly to go pick up that pizza, and there was no pizza, would you be frustrated? And sales alignment is really similar. Open dialogue, questions should not be perceived as an interrogation or placing blame. Marketers, quite honestly, in order to be successful in delivering the right leads, need a lot of information. And by having compassion and understanding from both departments that both jobs are equally difficult, it creates a much tighter bond and helps people reach their goals significantly faster. So in that pizza situation, if somebody had asked additional questions, you know, what toppings did you like? Which pizza place? What time do I need to pick it up? All of these different things, the same strategy when we think about sales process and best fit leads, we want to ask lots and lots of questions. When we think we've asked enough and we're starting to test, we're going to ask even more. Because when we stop asking, we stop improving and we miss opportunities to get those little nuggets of information that can really move the needle. And so other challenging parts of sales process are that there are many parts where a marketer really doesn't have visibility completely. And there's, I think, this assumption that, well, if you have a tool, you can see all of that information. We can see a significant amount. Even using a tool like HubSpot, right, we can really get massive visibility into anything that is automated, opened, if there was a meeting had. But what we're really looking for is the underlying tone, things like the context of the calls, feedback, objections, body language that you see in a call on a Zoom, tone of voice, even when they went with another competitor, why that is. All of these really influence positioning, messaging, touch point volume, types of channels, and when an MQL should be handed off as an SQL and never before that point. So we work at MarketVeep across a wide variety and range of industries. So everything from manufacturing, distribution, SaaS, finance, healthcare, environmental, professional services, and a long list of lots of others. So having that visibility into multi-department and cross-departmental alignment, teams from anywhere from 1 to 500+ people, lets us really understand that no two sales processes or teams are the same, even when it's within the same industry targeting the same personas. So one thing that works for one organization doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a home run in the next. There is a lot of influence that happens, even down to the benefits and the differences of your product versus somebody else's product. And so there's this huge misconception, really, of, well, if they're in a large organization, they must have everything organized, mapped out, and they're completely process-driven. Simply put, not always true. We've had sales teams come in and marketing teams that are 30, 50 people, and they are all moving in a completely different direction. They might have 6+ different systems that they're using. None of the data is connected between them. So just because they're big doesn't mean that they are organized. It doesn't mean that they're hitting their goals. It just means that they're big, that they have a lot more hands on deck to be able to execute. And so our goal really is always to improve that and automate and help them clone their best people and processes. So think of teams, big teams, as more people, more moving parts, more risk, more things to fall through the cracks, and much less simple. And so when we see sales team structures, they go across territories, BDRs versus account executives, sales teams focus on channel versus direct, all of which influence a sales process, handoff, and also the efficiency and the likelihood of those people to close. And so because we're exposed to so many of those business models and processes, we get to see the best of the best and also easily identify how to improve someone's process through automation. And because we see all those different industries, there are things that are applicable from one industry to another that might not ever be able a normal thought of, hey, have you thought of doing this or adding this type of automation in really a non-traditional way? And so with automation, I want to make sure we're clear. It is not, the intent is not to replace a human. In this case, it's not intended to replace a salesperson. We still need a human to actually close that sale, period, right? We don't want them to feel like their job is going to go away and all of this automation is going to replace them. That is not the intent. The concept is really to remove any frustrating friction points, manual tasks that suck the life out of that salesperson's main focus, which is ultimately closing the deal. And they're measured and paid on this. So if you want to lose a great salesperson, watch them continue to miss quota, become frustrated because they aren't reaching their financial targets, and leave to go to another organization. So, and we see that a lot. Really, you know, somebody comes in, they're full of excitement to close these deals, they're ready to go, and then just watching them deflate as time goes on is really frustrating for them. So making sure that you are ready and have the infrastructure and framework in place to be able to support that sales cycle. So things like updating properties in a CRM, manually adding a new lead, sending reminder emails, following up on documentation, enrolling them in marketing materials, and so, so many other mundane manual tasks that quite frankly distract and wear down a salesperson. They might not tell you, but if you ask them point blank, you'd be surprised what their answers will be. Like if you didn't have to ever add another contact manually into the CRM, how would that make you feel? The sense of relief that we hear from people like, oh my God, I can't handle it. 70, 80% of my day is going to these tasks. And so all of that ultimately detracts and takes away time that they could be focusing on closing the deal. So it's really important that those frameworks get set up in place. So, you know, we've seen salespeople come in from one organization, be really successful, have a great track record, exceed quota by 30, 40% at one organization, and then come into a new organization and just completely fall flat, not hit a single goal for months and months on end because they don't have these frameworks in place. And so they're really serious and definitely something worth building out. So I'm going to boil this down into three of the biggest areas where sales teams struggle to become scalable revenue closing machines. So the first one is there are no clearly defined goals. A lot of times we'll hear leadership say, well, I have a goal and it's X number. And that X number will say, how did you come up with that number? And there's no math that works backwards for that number. It's not documented. It's not shared with the team. Some departments know what the number is, some don't. And it's not broken out into smaller achievable goals like 90-day sprints or quarterly planning. So it's just from January 1 to December 31st, did we hit this goal? Yes or no? And so making sure that there's check-in points along the way becomes a really big priority because you don't want to get to the end of the year and say, wow, we were way, way off. And so when we start thinking about how to work backwards, instead of just pulling that number from the sky, we want to look at the historical data. So a tool like HubSpot allows us to do that. We can pull all the dashboarding and the reports right from there when all of the information is properly integrated in. But we want to understand, you know, how many leads does it take? Do we need to generate? What is the average close rate? What is the length of the buying cycle? And lots of other questions so that we have the most accurate likelihood to be able to say, yes, we are on track to hitting this number. know this is what we need to do in order to hit that number if that is the ultimate goal? Or ultimately, is that a realistic number? Should we adjust that number based on what historically you've done and what you're planning on doing for priorities for this upcoming 12 months? And so the best sales teams have clearly defined and shared objectives, not just for individuals, but also teams, departments, and then they understand how their goals actually interface with other people within the company. And those goals are documented, they're shared, and they're met about at a regular cadence to share that lead intelligence across teams. So that's the first one that we see, I'd say, is the most common one. The second one, which I will say almost every person that comes in, whether that is through onboarding or retainer that we come in contact with, have a concern around this one. It's at varying levels. So this one, number two, is no transparency in their reporting. So some companies that we talk to rely and allow their salespeople to do whatever it takes to close a sale, even if it means not using technology or just using the honor system. And so I once saw a report where a salesperson sent in for a week to their sales manager what they did for prospecting. So 5 business days, 8 hours a day. No lie, it was a list numbered 1 to 4, and on each line it had a name. That's it, literally nothing else. Not any details that they were interested in, when they entered the funnel, likelihood to close percentage, next steps, life cycle stage, estimated revenue generated, projected, expected close date, literally nothing, zero. The salesperson had been at the company for over 3 years. So think about all the gaps in that period. And so if you know someone that this is happening to, please share this recording with them and save them the heartache. I will also add some resources and some best practices at the end to help people get over this hurdle, but it's not a good thing for the company. It's not a good thing for that individual. Nobody's going to move in the right direction if that is what and how they're reporting. And so just to be clear, I by no means am saying salespeople lie, but what I will say is there are a lot of conversations that happen in a salesperson's day. Couple that with weeks and months of conversations, it is impossible for any human, not just a salesperson, any human to remember every stage, last conversation, touch point, et cetera. I mean, a machine can quite frankly track this better. And so if we take the salesperson or a marketer or whoever, somebody in a company, you just take this out of it. If you think of it in this way, can you remember all the items from your grocery list a week ago? Try it. List them out. It's impossible. All of the things that happen in your life in that 7-day period, it's a very, very long list. So that's how I try to think about a salesperson daily activity. They have a laundry list of people that they're talking to, tasks that they're doing, and to expect them to just keep it in their head is not realistic. And it's not their fault, right? It's not their fault. It's just impossible. But the best part of all this is by leaning into a platform for reporting, it allows sales teams to free up mind space and focus on the important parts of their jobs. And it allows teams to use the lead intelligence to inform them on how to bring in more deals, which channels close fastest, messaging that works best, even helps influence customer delivery after the sale. And so needless to say, it helps the entire company. So having dashboards for these core groups will definitely be a good starting place if you don't already have them in place right now. That is departments, teams, and individuals. So it gives clear transparency of where there is a breakdown or kink in the system and lets teams jump in faster to solve them. And so when marketing and sales specifically act together on these, it is by far one of the most powerful and successful levers that we have seen a company implement. It is the fastest way to get traction towards those goals. So number three is one I think that a lot of people we talk to end up getting uncomfortable with just because they don't want to, ultimately, what it boils down to is they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings and they don't want to disrupt anything that's working. So number three is companies who are scared to implement automation and technology. So for fear it will either slow down their salespeople or their best salespeople will say, I'm not using this, I quit. And so We've seen leaders let sales teams completely go rogue as long as the numbers were hit. But then when they actually grow, right, they're growing that revenue. So the company is growing. They need more people to hire to be able to manage those customers coming in. And they need more salespeople to handle the volume of leads that are coming in. They end up stunted in this kind of interim place because they can't grow. They can't bring in another salesperson successfully because all of this process hasn't been documented, isn't a shared ecosystem. And so things are living in personal drives. They're not shared in company folders, including leads and accounts. So we've seen, I think the worst situation we've seen is people who have a salesperson that is leaving their organization and all those prospects end up going with them. The company has no record of any of those prospects and leads because they're living in that salesperson's personal drive, their Excel sheet, a list that they have written down somewhere. And so if you think of it this way, that automation clones your best salespeople without adding that additional overhead, and the technology allows that visibility and infrastructure for your organization to grow, everybody wins. Everybody is happier and you get more done. There's more to do with a great team, reduce stress, reduce friction, and it's a win-win. So I'm going to, at the end of this, drop in the resources section a bunch of items that I found that we share with our clients when they're starting this journey to help make sure that they start out on that right trajectory. So keep moving forward and finding business happy. Till next time.
Thank you for listening to Finding Business Happy with me, Janelle McGrath, the founder of MarketBeep. If you want a roadmap to finding and keeping your business happy, download our free guide now at marketveep.com/happy.